There are three areas where I want to see considerable improvement from the Springboks in 2025. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I reveal the three things the Springboks must master in 2025 in order to be successful. Right, let's get straight into it. What do the Springboks need to improve in 2025? Number one, the lineouts. Now, there is an element of harshness here. For example, if you take a look at this clip of something that we did in the Rugby Championship in 2024, I mean, that is really beautiful. We're seeing some wonderful innovation there. But I think if we're honest, we probably saw too much line-out malfunction in 2024. Certainly too much for my liking. Now, I accept that when you come up against a world-class opponent like Scott Barrett, for example, you are going to have some of your line-out balls stolen from time to time. But I think that it's fair to say that Bongi Mbonambi and Malcolm Marks, and I know that Jan Hendrik Wessels also had a go at hooker in 2024, but specifically Malcolm and Bongi now, because they are still the incumbents and they are still the guys who played more often than not, we're talking about the inability to find their jumpers on a regular basis. Now, look, when we say regular, I'm not talking about like you and I playing in the backyard and it's going to be 50-50. We're talking about 80-20, 90-10. Those are the kinds of percentages that we are discussing here. And I think it's fair to say that if we go on the judgment of our own eyes, Bongi and Malcolm didn't always find their jumpers. Now, having said that, I am also perfectly aware that Dr. Russie Erasmus used no more or no less than 51 players in 2024, obviously trying to blood new players, create new combinations, create depth, and that was very, very successful. Don't forget, we won 11 of our 13 test matches, and only two of those defeats, well, both of them anyway, came by just 1 point. And both of them was as a result of last minute kicks. Ireland with the last minute drop goal to beat us. And then we missed that last minute kick in Argentina in Santiago del Estero. So we're talking fine margins, but we are nitpicking. And we're nitpicking because we want this team of ours that we love so much to be so excellent that no one, not even Stephen Jones or Matt Williams, can turn around and say that this is not the greatest team of all time. I think that's what we all really want here. So let's fix the lineouts. Now I'm going to show you something that is very, very interesting. The statistics from the lineouts in 2024. Let's take a look at that. So in the June test matches, we had 8 lineouts against Wales, then 12 and 17 in the two tests respectively against Ireland, and then 10 against Portugal. The winning percentage for each of those, 75%, 92%, 82%, and 100%. Now those aren't bad numbers, but you'd say you want 192 more often than you want 75 and 82. So in my opinion, we can call that inconsistency. Let's move on to the Rugby Championship. You can see we had 16 and 20 lineouts against Australia, 26 and 16 against New Zealand, 11 and 10 against Argentina. So obviously there was a lot more ball in play and running and so on taking place against Los Pumas. Let's look at the lineout percentages that we won. 88%, 80%, 92, that's good. 81, not so good. 82, also not so good. And then 100%. And then on the end of year tour, 17 lineouts against Scotland, 15 against England, and 15 against Wales. And we won 82%, 87%, 100%. So the way I look at that is sometimes we were excellent. You saw numbers in the 90s. You even saw 100% a couple of times. But we also saw 80s and we even saw a 75. And I know that that 75 was against Wales where we were playing a sort of second string side and the combinations hadn't yet got used to each other. And you can even say that in terms of the 51 players that Doc used last year. So Malcolm and Bongi are maybe used to throwing at or targeting Eben, maybe Argier, Luit, Sos, but now Ruan Nokia was there, Salman Murat was there. So little things like that. And then you throw in maybe someone like Jan Hendrik Wessels. Now he's throwing at Eben or he's trying to target Argier, whatever the case may be. But maybe he's not so used to that. Remember that the codes that the Springboks use are not the same as being used at franchise level or provincial level. So you see where we're going with this. And again, I know that there's a little bit of nitpicking going on here, but we want this to be excellent. Let's look at those numbers again quickly. And what I really want to emphasize is the overall percentage, the average was 87.7, which isn't bad, okay? But I do think that at international level, for the world champions, for a team that wants to be the greatest of all time, certainly in the eyes of the fans, we want that number to be 90. And it needs to be at least 90, actually. So if you look at the 75, 80, 81, 82, 82, we don't want to see numbers like that again. But we would rather see numbers like 92, 92, 100, 100. And it's quite interesting when you look at all of those 90s and the couple of 100s, suddenly it seems like maybe our eyes and the statistics are not telling us the same thing. Because coming into this episode, I very much wanted to discuss the lineouts as point number one for the things that I feel the Springboks need to rectify in 2025. And then I look at the statistics and I'm thinking, am I really going to do an episode where I find fault with 92%, 91%, 100%? Now, not really, but we are going to say, hey, you know what? We don't want 75s. We don't want 81s. We don't want 82s. And that's really where the challenge lies. Now, the second area of improvement that I think the Springboks need to drastically improve in 2025, handling errors. Now, guys, this has been a bugbear of mine for a very long time. And it's interesting to me how the Springboks seem to go through cycles when handling errors are a problem and when they're not a problem at all, almost. I go back to, let's call it the dark days at the beginning of the 21st century, the last days of Nick Mallett, the early days of Harry Viljoen and then the Rudolf Strauli era. Yes, we all know that it wasn't a great period for South African rugby. But something that irritated me in those days was the large number of handling errors that the players committed. It was even more problematic, I would say, given that you might remember that in those days, a lot of players were actually wearing gloves. And I think that the idea of those gloves was to assist with gripping the ball. You don't really see players wearing gloves these days, but at that stage, it was fashionable, wasn't it? I'm thinking of Marius Huber, Joe van Niekerk, just to name two players who were often seen, if not always seen, wearing those gloves. And despite that, the Springboks committed a high number of handling errors in those days. We didn't really see as much of it in the Jake White era. And then again, as time went by, yes, here and there it was a problem, but for the best part, it wasn't really there. And I think that the thing that irked me the most about it was if I take just a regular plonk like myself, trying to play ball sports from the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, into primary school, whatever it may be, what is one of the first things that your coach teaches you when you are playing a ball sport? Keep your eye on the ball. Now look, I accept that even at elite professional sport levels, players still don't keep their eyes on the ball at all times. We see dropped catches in cricket, for example. If you're a baseball fan, I quite like baseball. I was watching the World Series last year in November, and one of the New York Yankees players dropped a ball. Now, remember, they've got these big gloves that they wear in baseball. They call them a mitt. And the ball went into the mitt, and it fell out. And if you looked at the replay, you could clearly see that the player had taken his eye off the ball. So it happens. But I just think there are far too many handling errors committed by the Springboks. Now, another thing I will say is that I accept that, much like with the lineouts, there's a lot of innovation taking place. We called it Tony Ball in 2024, the influence of our new former All Blacks fly half and now our coach, backline attack coach, Tony Brown. And you can see what the Springboks are doing. It's very innovative. It's sexy rugby. Let's be honest. I'm calling it, I know a lot of people called it Tony Ball. In 2025, I'm calling it sexy rugby. And it is sexy rugby, and it's lovely to see, and it's very enjoyable to watch. And I think that as the players get used to it, as the years go by, there will be fewer handling errors that come with it. I'm confident that that will happen. But for example, I know that you want me to show you statistics right now. I want to tell you this. It was very difficult for me to find stats on handling errors, so I'm going to tell you this. I looked at four different articles, I think it was, and for the Springboks Scotland test match in November. And depending on who you read, the Springboks committed 13, 14, or 21 handling errors in that test match. So because it's somewhat unreliable, I'm going to say that I'm going to trust my eyes in this instance. And watching the Springboks in 2024, I personally felt that handling errors was a problem. And I would like to see that rectified. Now, again, talk about Tony Ball, the innovation, the creativity, sexy rugby. It's beautiful to watch. But I think that if we can half our handling errors in 2025, we are going to be a very, very dangerous team. And it's also worth saying one other thing about the handling errors. There are two very important things that they do. One, it halts your momentum. And the second thing that it does is it hands the possession back to the opposition. And that's not really what you want to be doing, especially if you are attacking, if you're in their 22, you don't really want to be giving possession back to them. I suppose from a defensive point of view, you also don't want to be giving possession back to them when you're in your 22, but that's a separate matter. Finally, let's talk about discipline. The Springboks gave away a lot of penalties in 2024. Now, I'm going to say this. A lot of it is relative. So, for example, think of things like obstruction, think of things like offside, maybe not late tackles, but you get where I'm going with this, right? And I'm thinking that, let's say it's something that is committed on the halfway line or in and around the 10-meter line, okay? Those little infringements, I'm not releasing the ball. There's a really good example again. Things like that. I don't really have a problem. I accept that it's part of rugby, that a lot of it, you might call it the dark arts, okay? It takes place and it's strategic. You know, maybe as a forward, you've made a tackle and you know that your defense hasn't organized itself yet and we're outnumbered and you just simply don't release the ball. Or you don't move out of the way in the ruck situation. You give away the penalty, but you know that by doing that, you probably saved a dangerous situation. So I accept that things like that take place in rugby. What I have a problem with is not so much the giving aways of penalties, but the yellow cards. Now, we did have a problem with yellow cards in 2024. To my eyes, it felt like every game we were being yellow carded. But let's take a look at the statistics, and it tells us a very interesting story, actually. So in June, we had 3 yellow cards in 4 test matches. Then in the Rugby Championship, we had 7 yellow cards in 6 matches, but 3 of those were in 1 test. 2 of the tests, we did not concede a yellow card at all. And then in November, 2 yellow cards in 3 test matches. So overall, it was 12 cards in 13 tests, which you could say, okay, that's 1 per test, give or take. It's probably like 0.96 or something like that. Let's call it 1. If we can half that number, again, it is something that is going to make us unstoppable. Now, look, there are some yellow cards where I disagree, but we have to be honest with ourselves here. It doesn't matter what we think about it. The laws of the game are the laws of the game. Whether we disagree with it or whatever the case may be, if a player does something that is against the laws of the sport, a yellow card often is one of the sanctions, whether we like it or not. There are certain laws that I think a yellow card as a punishment for is actually ridiculous, but that's what I think. The guys who actually make the laws of the sport, they don't care what I think. And that is something that I think we all have to accept. They don't care what we think. Those are the laws of the game, and the referee is expected to enforce those. I do think, though, that with Jaco Paper coming on board last year, I thought that that was actually a masterstroke on the part of Rassie. And it helped us probably to concede even fewer penalties. And I think that that is also something that will get better in 2025. It's perhaps also worth pointing out that of the 13 tests we played in 2024, in 4 of those, which is effectively a third, we managed to keep all our players on the field for the full 80 minutes. So it's not like this is a massive problem, but I would say if last year it was 4 out of 13, and we don't yet know how many tests we're playing this year, it's going to be at least 12, but we're hoping there'll be a 13th one. That would be the Qatar Airways Cup match. Instead of 4 out of 13, imagine if we could make it 6 out of 13 or even 8 out of 13. That would be tremendous improvement. Okay, how about a bonus area of improvement since you're still watching this episode and I'm really, really happy that you're still here. Okay, this is not really an area where I feel that massive improvement is required in 2025. But I know that some of you might think that I should have included this in my three. So as a bonus, I'm going to include the breakdown. Now, again, I don't think it was a massive problem for us in 2024. Yes, there were a few turnovers, but we were actually pretty good at effecting turnovers ourselves. I think that against the All Blacks, we struggled in the breakdown in the Rugby Championship. So that is something that we're going to have to look at when we go to Auckland and Wellington later this year. And then against Ireland, we also were not wonderful at the breakdown. I think we were beaten against both of those opponents in terms of the breakdown in 2024. But then you could also say that the Irish were guilty of obstruction in the test matches that we played against them in South Africa. So I'm not overly concerned just yet. But again, that is another area where a little bit of improvement could go a long way in 2025. And I look forward to your company next time.